Today, I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Now praise the Lord if you believe that. See, it's one thing to say it now. It's another thing to believe it. Now, see, we gotta believe this stuff now. We can't just, not just quotes. We're not just making great quotes. We are believing what God has told us to be true. And this is how we receive in our lives what it is that God has promised us. All right, today I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts. All of this just comes together. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He's best leader you could ask for. Acts chapter 19, we're going to begin reading at verse 11. Just think about everything that's happened so far today. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, even today you have begun to set the groundwork for the message that you want to bring to us today. That, Father, it is through you and through the resurrection of your son, Jesus, that we have authority over the evil on this planet and over any and every adversary that comes against us. That, Father, our peace rests in our justification with you and our right standing in Christ. That Satan and his kingdom has no authority over us. Yet, Father, the scripture tells us that the gates of hell would not prevail against us. So, Father, we march out in the name of Jesus to take back that which belongs to each and every one of us. We thank you for it even now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Today, I'm doing a message that's simply entitled, "The Origin of Your Authority." The origin of your authority. In other words, there are many people that I heard a lot this morning so far. But what we want to understand is that the Bible teaches plainly that we as believers have authority in the planet Earth. My thesis, which hopefully I'll get to when I'm done with all this and we'll understand, is that the believer's authority over evil rests in the authority of Jesus Christ himself. So we have to be able to establish that. The believer's authority, you, your authority, your ability to walk through everything I heard so far this morning. This one's sick. That one dead. This one got this. This one got that. The way we get through all of this stuff is to believe God's report. All right, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to say it. It's another thing to believe God's report. Who hath believed our report, Isaiah said? Not who heard it, but who has believed it. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, confession of the word, and through confession of the word, we then receive from God what he has promised us. But we don't get it by just talking about it or wishing it. All right, we can pray all the prayers we want, but when it's over, we must walk in the word of God and his authority. The Bible, again, like I said, when we get through this, hopefully your authority over evil rests in the authority of Jesus Christ. So to the extent we understand and recognize Jesus' authority, which we will establish even more so this morning, we'll see then where we should be. I was looking at the paper, April the 28th, just briefly, you know, and this is just a local paper. And I said, you know, I'm just going to copy these down right quick, tie this to my message. 16-year-old getaway driver leads deputies on cross parish chase. DA says gang leaders use teens to commit crimes, facing lesser sentencing. Ascension Parish sheriff deputy arrested on child pornography charges. Woman booked for feticide after home invasion led to the death of a child. A man arrested after woman noticed him taking pictures of her under the fitting room door. 5 dead after motel shooting. Standoff. Pair of public masturbators arrested in separate St. Tammany crimes. 3-year-old girl struck, killed in the French Quarter by a bullet. Wow. All that on the front and second page of the paper. I ain't even got on the inside of the paper yet, hardly. All that going on out there, and you got to ask yourself when you read that and you think, what gets into a 16-year-old that decides he's just going to take off in the car, run from the police? What causes these gang members to feel comfortable enough to take advantage of young kids so that when the young kids get caught, of course, it's the young kids who what get 5 years, 6 years, because they juveniles, but it's actually the 17, 18, 19-year-olds that are putting them up to dealing the drugs or whatever they're doing while they hide behind the scenes. What causes a sheriff deputy to play around with child pornography? What causes a woman? Now we're talking about girls now, women now, kicking down doors and doing home invasions now. You used to be running from guys. Now you're running from the women, even with the guns, kicking your door down. Men who can't control themselves enough that they go to Target and they got a camera on their foot sticking it up under the thing to take a picture of you. What you looking for? What you think you're going to see? What's driving you that you can't understand? Some may write about that. 5 dead after the motel shooting. Public masturbators. Really? Why? You can't do that at your house? Why are you out in public not just exposing yourself, but actually masturbating? There ain't no sense pretending what they said. That's what it said in the paper. In public. What causes this? And then the 3-year-old girl, no shot at life at all, just dead. And of course, you know, we go on with our lives, and we should, but the point is that each day all this stuff's happening, people being impacted by evil everywhere, right? And you can see why it would make sense that people would not have hope or people would believe in a way that God either doesn't exist or he abandoned the planet or whatever, when God seems to lay out plainly what the real deal is and what's going on. But at the same time, our failure to believe these things could even, as Christians, bring this stuff into our own lives. Now, sometimes people will say, well, Pastor, you sound like you're blaming people. No, I'm not. Look, all I do is try to read the Bible and apply it as best I can. If we can find something in the Bible that changes the Bible, well, fine, we can do that. But if we can't, it's our responsibility to believe God. And everything else is a lie. We may not understand it because the Bible says in one place the secret things belong to God, but the things he's revealed to us belong to us. What we will not ever do is make ourselves more righteous than God. God said that he knows what we have need of and he'll give it to us. He also told us in one place, like today when we partake of this communion, he says, he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak, sick, and many die early. He said, therefore, it's important that we understand what has occurred in the universe and God's expectation of all of us, right? It's not a bad message, but it's one that we got to understand. It's like, you know, we are in a war. I mean, God has brought us into his family, and the devil is warring against us to try to get us to what? Get us off, so that if he can't do nothing else, he can keep us weak, destroy our families, kill our children, kill us, whatever he can do to cut us short so we can do nothing for the glory of God. Yeah, if nothing else, it's like, oh, wow, that's what Christian life is like? Who wants to be a Christian? That's the whole idea. That's what he's trying to get the world to be able to say, and that's what they always say about us. But that's the ones who have failed yet to recognize the origin of your authority. It's not in your mouth just talking about it. It's not like, oh, let's just go take a class like some of these Hare Krishna people do, and we're going to, I went to some place the other day over there, I saw it, a mind reflection and relaxation. You're not going to hum your way to peace. You're not going to hum your way out of this. You're not going to yoga your way past a bullet. You are not going to figure out through any kind of thing down here how to get evil out of your life. It doesn't happen. Evil is dictated and run and determined by the devil himself. The Bible says Satan, Jesus said, comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. He said, I have come that you might have life. Well, Chris, why don't you turn that up? I have come, turn that up a little bit. I have come that you might have life. So we have to believe him. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, Jesus told us life does not consist in the abundance of things we possess. So it's not about having things when we talk about this abundant life. We're talking about life. We're talking about the ability to have peace. We're talking about the ability to walk in faith and to be able to hear God plainly when he's speaking to us. This is the thing that we have to be able to do. I want you to think about this. First, I want to establish Jesus' authority. We're going to spend time. People say they believe the word. Good. If you believe the word, we're going to establish Jesus' authority first. Most of the time people say, well, I already know all that. I don't think people, scripturally, if you see it, then you say to yourself, whoa. I mean, you really should, I mean, think about this now. As a believer, if you believe what I'm about to say, think about this. If what we believe and preach is true, that Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne in heaven, and that every single name, every single thing must bow at his authority, we believe that, then what's your problem? Seriously, what's the problem? If my daddy was the richest man on the planet, money is not an option, problem for me. Now, he may not be able to buy me health because you've seen that. A lot of rich people die of a lot of problems they got because money can't buy health. It can buy a lot of operations, but what it can't buy is health. I mean, if something go wrong that they can't fix, they just can't fix it. That's how it works. But if my daddy had the most money on the planet, he was the richest man on the planet, and my problem was money, would not my daddy be able to fix my problem? Okay. Well, if your daddy is God, and God said even if he was hungry, he wouldn't ask you nothing. God said everything is his. He said in one place, every knee must bow to the authority of Jesus. This is what he said now. He said, but who has believed my report? See? So if I believe him, though, then that means I should be able to go to God, and God says, no problem, I'll take care of it for you. But then when he don't take care of it, I got to ask, well, why didn't he? Either I'm going through so I can just get tougher. Some things you just learn by going through them, you know. Or there could be some things that I put myself in that I just got to wait to get out. You know, if I'm driving down the street and I see my car almost on E and it's almost out of gas, it's the difference between having a broken gas needle and you looking at E knowing you can make it to the next station. I'm in a hurry, you say, I gonna go to work first. And then halfway there, your car run out. And then we fussing at the car going, this don't even make no sense. You would think that they would know that when it starts come on the light, that you'd have at least another gallon in the tank. Well, it say empty. That means you need to stop now. Do what it say. Don't be sitting there guessing. Mrs. Lord do it all the time. Oh, when it come to that, you got at least another 20 miles. And I remember one time, you know, we did that when we were going to see Road Derrick in Atlanta. And as I was going up the hill and the car started jerking, I said, what's wrong with this thing? Had forgotten that I had decided back whenever I could make it. And as we were going up the hill, it was jerking. I thought something. I said, this is ridiculous. This is a rental car. What's wrong with this car? Then right then I looked and I said, oh, no. And it finally made it up to the very top of the hill and went over the hill, and I could see Exxon. And it rolled down the hill, and there was a red light. I said, Lord, please let it turn green. Let it turn green. The light turned green. We rolled right through the light and up to the Exxon pump. And right then, I was like, see, you just need to do what you know you should do. Just believe the E. When it say E, it's empty. Just believe it. Well, so when God says, look, Jesus is in charge, just believe it. I mean, you can't make God the ruler of everything. And then when stuff starts coming against you, act like he ain't. Now, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of what you don't see. So how do you know, how you think you're going to get tested in it to start? Because the devil says, like in the Seven Sons of Sceva, Paul is preaching and people seeing what's happening. Boy, boom, boom. And they say, well, we're going to try that. And they go up and say, we adjure you by that Jesus Paul preaching. And he said, Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? And jump, which tells us, obviously, there is the devil and the demons are aware of people. This one they know. So the question is, if you came up for an interview, what would the devil say about you? Would he say, oh, yeah, that's one right there. I ain't worrying about them. All I got to do is snatch something, and they get to crying and whining and all up under the thing, and they just not going, they're not a problem at all. So the devil says, look, I don't even need to send but one demon over there today. Matter of fact, I don't even need a demon. We just need a little storm. Just send something that way, because they're going to be so busy whining about all of that, I'm not going to need to worry about them. See, that can't be our testimony, see. We have to realize we must establish. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to be patient with me, because the Bible says we believe the word. So I'm going to take you quickly through some scriptures, and I want you to see why and what has already occurred now. So I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 53. And Isaiah, remember, was the prophet that was preaching. And Isaiah starts off with, in Isaiah 53, 1, he says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him. Now, he's talking about Jesus. And think about everything you know about Jesus. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from judgment and from judgment. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now let's just go over to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And let's begin at verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Go with me to John chapter 12. John, the book of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we're going to begin at verse 23. And Jesus answering them saith, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. And others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And let's look at verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Who seekest thee? She supposed him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now to Matthew chapter 28, and that's where we're going to end this scriptural lesson on Jesus' authority. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, after having read through all of those scriptures, let me tell you what I just did for you. One, I took you through Isaiah and established for you the fact that God made it clear that man was so depraved, so evil, so messed up. All of us have gone astray. None of us are worthy. No one can come to God. Therefore, I must have a sacrifice for myself. Therefore, my servant, I will send, and he will suffer. He will die. He will be cast out. He will be treated like a transgressor. When people look at him, they're going to act like he's being beaten and put to death for himself. What did he do wrong? He didn't do nothing. He was bruised for my transgressions. He was healed. All this happened because of us, he says. The disciples didn't understand it, and neither did the Jews, because they didn't understand. There was a prophet that was supposed to come like Moses. There's this servant that's supposed to come. Then there's the Messiah. Oh, Jesus. Them not understanding. God fulfilling every one of these. He came like Moses said, a prophet like me God will raise up. He said, you must listen to him. This is why Jesus said, Moses said this, but I say this. Moses said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I tell you to love your neighbor like yourself. I tell you, if somebody strikes you on the cheek, turn the other one. Follow what I say. God says, if you don't do what he says, when it's over, he's going to hold it against us. Then he moved to the servant, which I showed you, the suffering servant. And then I took you to Daniel. And Daniel said, as he was praying, asking God what was going to happen in the last days, God showed him a vision. And the Bible says that he saw all of a sudden this beast get cast down. And then he saw God sitting on his throne. And he saw a man ascending toward God. And all of a sudden that man was presented to God. And to that man was given dominion over everything. Over every single thing, dominion was given to him. Then we went to John. And in John, you see Jesus making his speech before he dies. He says, the hour has come. Father, glorify yourself. He says, can I run from this? It's why I'm here. When you read Isaiah, it's plain. They're going to reject me. They're going to despise me. But I got to go. Why? Because I have to pour out my soul to death. He understood it. He knew he had to go. They didn't understand it. Peter trying to fight. Everybody's trying to fight for Jesus, stay alive. And Jesus is like, don't you understand? He says, the scriptures, they speak of me. This is what I must do. I must go. And when Pilate told him, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or to let you go? Jesus said, you would have no power over me, but you get it from heaven. That's why I'm not opening my mouth. Isaiah said, like a dumb sheep, he stood there and opened not his mouth. Dumb before the shearers and what? Allowed them to crucify him, but not for himself, as they suspected, but for who? Us. Then this same Jesus, as he says what's about to happen, Father, glorify yourself. God says, hey, I have glorified my name and I'll do it again. And then God sat there and watched men do exactly what he had said they would do. As they beat Jesus and pulled out his beard and did everything and then crucified him. And Jesus hung on that cross and finally said, it is finished. That's why Jesus said, the hour has come. The prince of this world is being cast out. See, as believers, what we don't understand is, see, everybody keeps talking about, oh, I can't wait till we crown him king. You ain't crowning nobody. Why are you singing that? Why you even think that? We're not crowning Jesus anything. Jesus already king. The Bible says that there will be a marriage. And the question is, are you going to be at the wedding? Are you going to be a part of the ceremony? Because people say, well, we the bride of Christ. And sometimes people don't even understand. They'll say that. But the Bible also says, John said, I saw the bride coming down from heaven, the new Jerusalem. See, we going to the marriage supper. See, the bride that Jesus is marrying is the New Jerusalem that's coming down from heaven. That's his bride. We are part of the bride of Christ. We talk about the bride of Christ a lot. We don't understand fully what the Bible is trying to say. This is not just about us marrying Jesus. Okay, we going to the wedding supper. Okay? The New Jerusalem, whether you show up or not, Jesus getting married. Oh, yeah. The New Jerusalem, I'll show it to you in Revelation. It says, we saw the bride coming down from heaven, the New Jerusalem. God's going to say, behold your wife. In other words, everything you suffered for, the Jerusalem, the Israel that's to rule the world, there she is. Behold your husband, behold your bride, and they all come together, and we, as citizens of this new kingdom that don't die, we're immortals, and we live on forever with God. The Bible says that what? We are born flesh, we die in humility, but we're raised in power. First the physical, then the spiritual. But at the same time, there's authority that God grants to us while we're here that comes through Christ. Now watch this. See, the problem that most people have is they don't even establish Jesus' authority stuff. They're dealing with the world and everything going on around them as if God eventually, Jesus is going to rule. That's what people say all the time. You hear people say that all the time. Well, eventually, you know, God, Jesus is going to be here. I don't need Jesus to come here. If I gave y'all my credit card and said, look, there's an unlimited credit limit on my card. Just go get what you need. Why are you calling me all the time? Pastor, I just need to clear. Is it all right for me to use your card? Did I not give you the card? But that ain't the same, Pastor. Okay, well, the Bible says that God knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus told you how to pray. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses, and I forgive those who trespass against me. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, it's time for you to get up and go do something. Now, I told somebody the other day, what you have to do is ask yourself the question. If you have any question about anything going on in your life, ask yourself the first question. Does the word of God cover it? If it does, case closed, it's over. Yeah, just do what the Bible says. Now, when you start playing with the Bible, then you done cast God's word behind you and you can look for it. It's coming. It ain't gonna go well for you. Now, if you don't find it in the word, then what you do is you say, well, is the subject, has God dealt with it before? And what does that look like? Okay? And if it's not there at all, can you just make a decision and do something? Well, I'm waiting on God. Well, I'm waiting on God. Well, I'm waiting on God. And you're going to keep waiting because you have authority to make a decision. Now, let's talk about this. The next thing I showed you was that Mary was in the garden crying. Where you at? Jesus steps up behind and say, Mary, who you looking for? No, he first said, who you looking for? If you the one took him, please tell me. She thinking it's the gardener. She say, Mary. Oh, Rabbi, hold on. Now she get all excited. She want to hug him. He said, don't touch me. Now, why did he say, don't touch me? And then when he came back, he let him touch him. Because he said, I have not yet ascended to my Father. What we saw in Daniel had not yet taken place. Jesus had not ascended and been brought before the Father. He's the only person, man, ever could have gone into the presence of God. He's the only one. See God now face to face. And guess what? God crowned him. I don't know why we keep thinking we gonna crown him. No, God set him. What y'all think that means? God set him at his right hand until all enemies be put under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So if the last, now listen, it's not, if the last enemy to be destroyed is death, then it looked like he would be conquering them now. He's in the process of conquering. But how is he doing that? Through us. Jesus is not here. Tell somebody the other day, the Holy Spirit don't cut grass at the church. He don't vacuum. And he wasn't up on the roof the other day helping us to fix it. The Holy Spirit with you, but he ain't nailing no boards. The Holy Spirit is not ministering to someone. He'll help you to minister to someone, but he's not doing that. You have to open your mouth. You have to speak it. The Holy Spirit ain't taking your wife to dinner. the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, help us. If we don't do what the Word says, then all we can do is hope that somewhere, shape, form, or fashion, things will work out. And they never work out when we don't do what the Word says. All right, let me go a little further. Some people are sick. That's because you keep eating that garbage they told you to stop eating. The Holy Spirit ain't going to help you except to comfort you while you keep on chewing on that stuff you ain't supposed to be eating. I can't help myself, you say. You're right. But the Holy Spirit can help you. I don't know if he can. Well, do you believe that God is in charge of everything or not? You see, we got to get away from the comic strip God we serving, the Disneyland God, the Batman God, you know, the Wonder Woman God. That's the one that, you know, you read about in the comic strips, and all this is a big comic strip, obviously, for many people. Because they tolerate in their lives things that God has said don't belong there. But Pastor, what you gonna do? Well, I don't go on experience. I just try to go on the Word. Now, if my experience doesn't line up with the Word, I just say, obviously, I ain't figured out how to get this Word to work. Instead of saying, that's not how it works. How you gonna tell the car when it's on E and it run out of gas, you ain't supposed to do that? Why do you think they tell you when you buy something? Like I bought something the other day, and it's not important what it is. I bought something the other day. It had an instruction book with it. Now, you know, not y'all. First thing I do is get the thing, start playing with it. You know, why this don't work? Why this ain't working? Because you ain't doing it right. You open a book and say, read this whole book before you touch this thing. Even before you touch it. Read the book. Oh, I'm smart enough. I can figure it out. This button must mean, I wonder why I'm doing that. Because you ain't supposed to press that until you do this. Help me, Lord, help me, help me. All right. So now we have these people approach after Paul is working these special miracles. The Bible says that Paul would give handkerchiefs and demons was coming out of people and all that. And the guy was seeing it and they was all excited. And they were like, man, I want to do what Paul doing. So they decided to just try it out. And they go up and they say, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, the devil says. But who are you? Because they scream out what? Something that sounds like what ought to work. See, many Christians even are praying prayers, doing things, all kind of stuff, because they think it works, but they're mimicking things they've been told or heard. They don't have no real relationship with God. Now people are going to say to me, well, Pastor, how are you going to say that? Well, I'm just saying. If you get up and tell me you know how to hit a pitch and you can't never, you just always striking out, stop telling me you know how to bat. You ain't hit a ball yet. Since you ain't hit one yet. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. If I could get the right bat. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. They pitching too fast. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. Always an excuse. Always got an excuse. The reality is you're striking out, striking out, striking out. Why can't you finally just say, man, I don't know how to bat. God, please help me learn how to bat. And you'd be surprised. God said, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. And the next thing you know, cow, you cracking it out the field and you don't even know how it happened. Because it ain't got nothing to do with you. See, if we ever get to the place where we finally realize this, this is where the power comes. That's why last week when I told you, God says, don't let the mighty boast in his might. Don't let the rich boast in his wealth. Why? Don't let the wise boast in his wisdom. Why? Because all of that's going to fail. God says, if you're wise in this world, I'm going to refute your wisdom and mess it up so you can see it don't work. If you're mighty in the world and people think, I'm going to snatch your might from you so you can see that don't work. And if you're rich in the world, I'm going to do something that you're rich don't work so that you see where the power comes from. But if we don't understand it, we keep going. So Jesus ascends and then he comes back and he makes a statement that's phenomenal. Look at what he said in Matthew 28:18. Either we believe the word or we don't. Now, I don't know what school y'all went to. People always keep telling me, well, Pastor, that's your interpretation. Now, look, it's up on the screen. Let's all interpret together. Now, what part of all y'all don't get? I get it now. I mean, now, if we got a reasonable debate, meet with me after church and let's talk about it. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, this is why I said I would not be a pastor. I wouldn't be a Christian. You can get off that screen on TV. I wouldn't be a Christian if what? Jesus is a liar. All I got to do is find, look, I'm telling y'all, I like all y'all that I see out here. I don't see nobody I don't like. But I tell you what, if you look me in my face and just tell me a lie that really hurts my, something I'm trying to do, you tell me a lie. And then I find out you told me that lie, I'm not going to hate you. But I sure ain't going to believe nothing else you got to say. You can forget it. If it got anything to do with anything that's important to me, I ain't listening to nothing you got to say. Now, if we're talking about our future, you're going to die and go to heaven. You passing up stuff today that look like it could be fun. Why? Because it's sin and God said it was sin. So I ain't going to do that, you say, because I'm trying to live for God. Father, help me to live for you. Let your spirit empower me. You praying all that stuff because you believe that what? God is pleased with that. But he's a liar. He lied, right? He lied. Why? We know because Jesus claimed all. Now, I always tell Sister Laura, and I say this to y'all, that all she kept it, that's emphasized. She just did that. In your Bible, it just say all with two little L's. Because I don't want nobody to think I'm changing the word on you now. She's just trying to make y'all understand. It could get this big if she wants to. All in here from the school I went to. You know, today they're cheering, teaching them all kind of stuff. Math, they doing, I don't even know what they're doing in school. But all from where I came from meant all. So if I said, all y'all get out of here, and then three of y'all stay, without me saying, you know what I'm going to say next. What you doing here? You ain't hear what I just said? Well, Pastor, I ain't think you was talking to me. And the next thing gonna be, what part of all you don't understand? That's what you know I'm gonna say that. What part of all you ain't get? Well, I mean, I thought I was a friend of your. Man, get out of here. I said, everybody. Everybody out. All y'all get out. All right? If somebody say to you, I lost all my money. Now, they might have a few dollars left. And that's why we think sometimes like that, when they say, I lost all my money. So they had $1 million, they ain't got but 100 left, so they say, I lost all my money. Well, in their world, it's all, and we would think that's a lot. But they didn't lose all their money, they lost a lot of their money. They lost 99.9%, but that ain't all. There's a little bit left. Jesus said all, and I looked it up. In the Greek, that word means all. It means everything. It means every single possibility of power. Anything that could be happening that got to do with power, God gave it to Jesus. Anything, jurisdiction and authority and dunamis. Now, that all is encompassing that. Jurisdiction means I get to run it all. You know how when you go to the judge court and they say, look, this is my court. I'm going to need you to sit down. And if you don't sit down, the bailiff going to come get you. Yeah. You say, well, I don't think I should have to sit down. I should have free speech in here. The judge is going to be like, don't no speech go on up here but what I say. But you're wrong, judge. It don't matter. As long as the judge is up on that bench, and until they take them off the bench, they have the authority to shut you down within their courtroom. Now, that same judge can't walk next door to the next judge's court because that's Division D. You wasn't elected over Division D. You were a judge over Division C. So you can't tell nobody in D what to do because you in C. Jesus is over all the divisions. He can walk from courtroom to courtroom to courtroom and tell everybody what to do when he feel like it. That's what he can do. All power. See, we got to emphasize this. All power. All of it. Every bit of it. We got it, Pastor. Some people sure don't. Keep drilling down because if they had it, I tell you what, you see a lot of stuff exploding out of your life because all power, sickness, boom! I got authority over that. People say, then why they sick? Well, what you saying? Jesus lied? Are you saying Jesus is a liar? See, here's the problem. Here's the thing. It's kind of like when me and my wife are talking sometimes. And let's say, for instance, I say something to her, and I meant something, but I ain't really want to say it. Well, then she may come straight at me and say, so what you trying to say? I'm this, do, 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 boom. Oh, no, I wasn't trying to say that. Yeah, you was. You just didn't want to say it. Like that. Because it might not have been so nice and whatever. Stop playing. See, stop playing. Let me not use my wife, because I don't want to get in all sensitivity conversations. Let me just make up one of y'all. Say I walk up to you and say, you know, I like you, but I kind of think, you know, you might want to think about how you talk. What you saying? What I'm saying is you need to change the way you talk. But I'm not going to just say it like that. You might want to consider, and I'm going on dancing all around. Why? Because you don't want to offend nobody and you don't want mad. So you try to figure out a way to say it to them, right? Yeah, so that the what? You maintain your relationship or whatever the case might be. And then they come back and say, what you mean by that? Well, now, do they really want to know what you mean? They got a commercial, Geico commercial. Abraham Lincoln and his wife is there, and she has this dress on, and she says, Abe, y'all know Honest Abe, Abe! Does this dress make my backside look big? And Abe goes like this. Well, and then she storms off because Honest Abe got choked for words because, yes, honey, that dress makes your behind look big. But he couldn't say that, and he ain't sure she wanted to hear that. So when she asked him, what she really was looking for from Abe was confirmation. I'm pregnant. Women do it all the time when they're pregnant. Honey, how do I look? Well, you look pregnant. What you mean by that? Well, I'm just saying, I mean, you know, that's not what they're trying to get. They want some confirmation at the moment that they look fine. Girl, you're looking good. You mean that? Yeah. Look at y'all looking at me, Pastor. You be lying to people. No, y'all know everybody went away. We do that now. How my breath smell? It's all right. It's okay. Especially if it's somebody you really like. You know, you want to try to tell them, but you try to think, oh, Lord, look, sometimes when I have an issue here and there, every now and then it happens with me. And I remember my wife sometimes, she would just hand me a peppermint. Boy, I get mad. What you giving me that for? She don't want to say, because your breath smell. She ain't going to say that. She don't hand me a peppermint. She don't come up and say, honey, your breath smell. She just, here's your peppermint. What a peppermint means, your breath smell. And I would still get upset. But you my wife. What? So she's supposed to smell your breath while I smell? What you saying? No, just don't tell me that. Well, what you want to leave your peppermint at the door? I mean, how that supposed to work? So when God said, oh, he ain't playing around. He's trying to get it to you. I mean everything, all of it, all the power. Y'all, I'm not joking with you. I'm not playing with you. And I would be very upset if I found out that God just lied. Jesus just lied. Well, you can't tell me nothing else then. So when I go to pray, I say, Jesus, you said, all power in heaven and earth has been delivered to you. You the one told me the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. I refuse to believe that this is happening in my life because you're trying to teach me a lesson. That's what they tell you, you know. Well, this happened to you. You know what, God, trying to teach you a lesson. Well, the most I know, the only lesson he's trying to teach me is when I mess with that communion today. That I better make sure that I do what? Judge myself. That's the only place I hear him say, if you eat and drink this unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. Here's how you get weak, sick, die early. Okay. So if God trying to teach me anything, that could be happening. But if that ain't it, then we ain't got nothing else to talk about. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. That's got to become your testimony. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. No weapon, you say. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon formed against me can prosper, you say. You got got to stand up to the devil. Now, you ain't got, I ain't tell you go stand up to your boss, they the devil. See, that's where we get it all confused. Now, you go to work, disrespect your boss. Ain't no devil got authority over me. Boss like, look, I'm going to tell you what this devil finna do. You're fired. You can't fire me. Watch me. You're fired. That's not wisdom. That's not what we're talking about. You sense that your boss might be being used by the enemy. You go to God and you pray. Father, I perceive there's something going on behind this situation that ain't of you. And you said that no weapon formed against me could prosper. And every tongue that rose up against me in judgment, you would condemn it. You said that is the heritage of the servants of God. I inherit that, not because I'm perfect, but because Jesus poured out his soul unto death. And because of that, I now have right standing with you as my Father. And now that means what? I get to take part of being in the family. And I believe my brother, my elder brother, who's the king, who got the double portion, who's now sitting on the right hand of God, crowned, who said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, I didn't give him these scriptures, but I'm just going to throw it out there. We're talking about in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, it says that. It says, take on to you the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the armor of God that you might be able to stand against the devil and to whoop him up. That's what you got, babe, do. You got to understand you have authority. You got it. The Bible says, therefore, you take on the whole armor of God. Put it on and begin to come against and war with this devil. By faith, you might have hit me with some sickness. You might be testing my faith. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed because he has all power and authority even now. That's what you say. And you stand firm on it and believe it. And then he's going to come and whisper in your ear. Yeah, that's why so-and-so died of this. You got the same thing. You said, look, I don't even know whatever happened with them. That ain't got nothing to do with me. I ain't trying to judge their life, their thing. Look, we talking about me and Jesus. Because the Bible said plainly, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? So how can you evaluate anybody's life other than your own? The doctor comes in and says, well, everybody that gets this dies. And you say, well, obviously, they ain't read the report. What report? Bible says, whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe the report of the doctor? Are you going to read the report of God? God says, by his stripes, you were healed. Yeah, pastor, but I've been watching life. Everybody say all that. They just be dying everywhere. You go to all these churches, they dying everywhere. But don't nobody ever talk about communion now. They was all Saturday night. Then come get their communion and think it's cool. That God just in heaven. Go on, get your son. And then get your communion. And he's just all right with it. That ain't got nothing to do with what's going on in the world. I'm sitting all day watching the housewives of wherever they're from today. Sleeping with each other, husbands, sleeping with each other, sleeping with the dogs now. Ain't no telling what they doing. And I'm sitting there and laughing about it, and it's sucking it all up, and then come get my communion. But that ain't got nothing to do with it. God don't care how I entertain myself. It don't matter what I listen to, what I watch, what I'm looking at. Pastor, you trying to tell us we can't have TV? Pastor ain't telling you nothing except stop blaming God for stuff that go on in people's life when you don't know them people's life and when you don't know nothing about that. All you know is your own life. And you stand, oh, you ought to know. You should know why you're sick. You should know it. You should say, you know what? This ain't nothing but the devil. And I know it's the devil. And I'm going to stand here. I'm going to stand. And I'm going to keep standing. Because even when I know I didn't do that right, I know I've gone before my Father and asked him to forgive me. And he told me. If somebody sins against me, and I'm not God, he said, but by me giving you your spirit, you have the ability to do what I'm about to tell you. If somebody sins against you in the same day, seven times, and do the same thing, and turn and ask you to forgive them, you forgive them, Roderick. You understand? Well, God, that don't seem right. Well, that's what I do with you, boy, all the time. You be doing some of the same stupid stuff. And then you got the nerve to come up here and pray and ask me to forgive you. And then you won't try crying like some kind of way you think adding tears to it is going to make me feel better. And the only reason you're crying because you know you done it again when I told you stop. And you said you were going to stop. Last time you promised, oh, God, get me out. I ain't never going to do that again. Then you went and did it again. That's why you crying. But see, I ain't moved by them tears. I'm moved by you doing what you're supposed to do. But you seem sincere. So you know what? I forgive you. That's our Father. So he tells me to do the same thing. My wife should do it with me. I should do it with her. You said something to me earlier today, offended me. Then she says, I'm sorry. I'm like, okay, I forgive you. Then 20 minutes later, she do it again. God says, if she's sincere and apologizes, you're not supposed to go to the website that talks about narcissistic people and abuse and turn and say, oh, huh, I ain't about to let you do this. I read Psychology Today. And it says, when somebody do that, that means they trying to destroy your life and you in a toxic relationship, so you better get out. When God ain't never said nothing about toxic relationships in the Bible. That's right. Don't worry. Now, God can handle toxicity. Yeah. I'm telling you, some people could be so toxic, they're going to drop dead if they keep up some of what they be doing. They need to understand that. God know how to deal with that stuff, but the point is that what? He's also dealing with me. Think about faith. How can you try your faith if you don't never try it? I buy, at times, if you go at the store and they tell you, well, I mean, we're going to sell you some gold. This gold is 99% pure. Well, do you want some proof? Usually what they'll do is they ain't going to set it on fire in a boiling thing because it'll melt your gold down. Then you can't wear your chain. What they do is they give you a certificate of authorization, authenticity. This is authentic gold. This is where it came from, and it has a chain of title, right? And this is what it is. Now you take it and you pay the price of gold instead of something that's not gold. So here comes God and says, this is authentic, what I'm giving you. This faith is authentic. You can believe it. Well, now I can take God at his word. He forgives me. So I know I'm not sick because he's what? Punishing me, doing something to me. No, you know what's going on? The devil is trying my faith. I told him it was 0.99% gold, and he decided what? You a faker. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But I don't think you who you say you are. See, it may not, you may be who you think you are. But he's about to find out. Because the only way he can know is what? The only way you know gold is gold, you either try it in the fire. Yeah. So the Bible says your faith is tried in the fire. You try it in the fire, or you get an authentic certificate. Well, God ain't handing them out. I'm sorry, y'all, he's just not. God hands out faith that's tried in the fire. That's how you authenticate. It says your faith will get tried in the fire. So all of a sudden, something come at you. And oh, the devil, every night he's telling you, oh, this the one. This here gonna take you down. Oh, yeah. You done offended God for the last time. And he got you now. Oh, yeah, that's why you're sick like that. Oh, you finna die. Don't you feel it in your bones? Now, at least if you heard that, you could do like Hezekiah and turn your face to the wall and start crying and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I ain't right. God, I know it. And I just ask you, please, to forgive me. And if it was something happened at that communion table, I ain't judge myself probably. Please, I judge myself for that. But, Father, I just ask you, please, to have mercy on my soul, because I know you can. And with that, you can believe God forgave you. Now you can stand up and say, all right, I expect a move of God in my life. Why? Because Jesus sits on the throne. Don't y'all understand? Jesus is not up on the throne watching this like it's some kind of game for him. I'm going to see how they do. While the devil just whooping you all around, beating you down, I'm going to just see how they do. That's not what's going on. Faith is the substance of things we do not see that we desire to come to pass. So as I'm standing, believing God, as the devil is trying everything he can to take away my faith by doing stuff in the natural that I can see, I continue to stand on what I know. Jesus ascended to heaven. He sat on the throne. Matter of fact, Daniel got it shown to him. Isaiah preached it. That's why Jesus died. So when the devil says, yo, Jesus is weak, I killed him. Yeah, you killed him because God let you. He had to die. He poured out his soul for me, not for himself. Jesus died in weakness for me, not for himself. So now I know I got standing with God because he went to heaven and he's up there. And he told the truth when he said, all power has been given unto me. Because if he lied, I already told y'all what I'm doing with him. I wouldn't preach. The day God come down here and tell me, and he hasn't yet. He said, I know I said, Jesus said that. That ain't really what he meant. When he said all, he kind of meant some. The devil still got authority over sickness and killing people. The devil still got authority over death and killing people. The devil still got authority over this and he's doing that. So you just got to watch out. Wow. That's it? Watch out? How you going to watch out? Y'all do understand with all them things I just read, y'all. Watch this. This what you watching out for then. Ooh, Lord. You're watching out for the 16-year-old getaway driver that might run over you. You're watching out for the gang leader that might come by. You're watching out for the sheriff deputy who might have your child in child pornography. You're watching out in case you're pregnant for some girl to kick your door in and cause your baby to die. Well, you might be a target just trying to put on a dress. And some man got a camera up under there trying to get shots of you. Well, you might just be at the motel and end up getting shot. Or you just got to catch these masturbators that's out here doing what they're doing. Or maybe your 3-year-old child just gets shot in the head. That's a lot to have to look out for. Why can't we believe? And you'll say, well, Pastor, you're saying none of those people are Christians. See, you didn't hear me say that. What you heard me say was, I can't evaluate your life. I can only evaluate my life and use the word and apply it. Other than that, we're stuck with nothing. We just tell people, look, this is just the way it works. You never know what's going to happen. That's a lie. The Bible don't say that. Look at what the Bible says. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's go back over to Acts. Right quick, Acts chapter 19, and let's look at this right quick. Look at Acts chapter 19. And let's go down and look at what it says about Paul. It says that in verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. All right, so the Bible then says that Paul, now people say, well, the reason that is because Paul was an apostle. If you want to give Paul that kind of power, well, thanks. But the Bible don't say that God exalted the apostles above all power. All power was given to Jesus. And then Jesus decided who to give it to do what he needed to get done. So all the apostles obviously didn't have these special miracles even happening. So God gave certain things to Paul. So why God can't get, look, if God can at least give Paul, if you're willing to believe the Bible, because you notice how much we're going to keep scratching out after a while. If you believe that God gave Paul the ability to work special miracles, let's just say you believe that, but you don't believe nobody else can do that, can you at least believe God can work a miracle for you? Just a miracle. One! That's why I get so aggravated. Because I keep hearing all this crazy talk from Christians. Can God work one miracle for you? We run around with a book that claims there was an apostle that God worked special miracles. He had a handkerchief or an apron and he sent it, and diseases left and evil spirits. That's why the devil always mocking us, because we're not appropriating the power. And then we talk about the God who had it while his people out there steadily doing what they do. robbing, stealing, acting crazy, doing stuff like that, right? And then we are going around talking about a God, but we ain't got no product. At least can we have some faith about it while we're dealing with it, right? Let's just say, look, you know what? I might go down, but I'm going down swinging. Yeah. Look, I got a tactical vest at my house. And I told my wife one time, I said, look, you know what? Before somebody come through this door and get back up here, I'm going to be wearing this vest with all these here, and it's going to be on. People say, well, pastor, I thought you was a pastor. I am a pastor. And what I'm going to believe is just like David, just like Samson, I'm going to take down 1,000 Philistines with 10 bullets. You will not come in here. This is not the same thing when God says, oh, turn the other cheek. He wasn't talking about that. You just going home and invade me? That's not this. You didn't pick my house because I'm a Christian. Well, I'm going to pick this house. You know, they're Christians. We're supposed to kick the door in, slap their cheeks, and take their money. That's not what that's talking about. Jesus said the thief would not have broken in if the watchman would have been up. So I'm like, Holy Spirit, I'm about to go to bed. If somebody, please, ain't no way I'm ever going to believe. Somebody going to wake up and they got a gun in my head in my bed and I don't know nothing. Where the Holy Spirit? Where the angels at? Well, pastor, you should have locked your door. I did. And what I'm saying is if I lock my door and they get in my house, surely you can't tell me that God didn't know they was out there. Surely you can't tell me that God could at least tap me on the shoulder and say, bro, you know you're always preaching, I talk to you. I'm speaking to you. Get up. They in there. At least he might let us run. But some people's world allows them to believe that their father. Now, come on, y'all. I see mothers and fathers in here that God, now, Jesus said, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does God know? But you believe the devil has put in your mind that your father would let a criminal come in your house, put a gun in your head, and just kill you or steal your stuff. Why? Because he's trying your faith? Do you think that when that goes in the newspaper, people ask, were they Christians? Well, I wonder, did Pastor just look at him and say, well, sir, you can have all my stuff in Jesus' name. You think the thief is going to somehow say, well, you know what? You a pastor, huh? Well, I'm just going to leave now. He might. Maybe I'll just give him a tape or a devotional. But if I don't, I ought to believe that the Spirit of God can rise up in me just like he did in Samson. Boy, I'll snatch your head off your body right now. You better get out of my house. My wife in here, I'm in here, you in here. Boy, you better get out of here now. He'll say, you are crazy. I got a gun on you. And I got God, I say, right? I'm going down swinging. If nothing else, their testimony going to be, he was a madman. We had to shoot him 16 times before he stopped. Then he hit us with the Bible. I will not believe that the devil can just torment us and do what he wants and take over and do all. I'm not believing that. That makes Jesus a liar. How you got all the power, dude? And they just do it. Now people say, well, look at what happened to the people when they were tortured and tormented. Right, but you got to go back and read. If people just go look at stuff, you'll realize things were happening in season. When all the church sold everything they had and gave it to the apostles, do you know what happened during the lifetime of those people? The entire city of Jerusalem was destroyed within 30 years. So right now, today, if you were saving for retirement and God knew that in 10 years, the whole earth was, going to be destroyed, he probably would be saying something to you in prayer like, y'all go sell everything you got and bring it to the church. And y'all all take care of each other. There's some of you who are poor. There's some of you who are whatever. Take care of each other because it's about to be on out here. That's what he would be saying. Why? Because you can gather it all up, but it's going to all be destroyed. So what's the point? That's what he did. The church came together. They sold what they had. But Ananias and Sapphira, they tell the story. Ananias and Sapphira had land. And they went and sold their stuff and kept some of it back. And they came and put it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, is this all the money? And they were like, oh, yeah, it's all the money. He said, why have Satan filled your heart to lie? Greed. He said, you've not lied to men, but to God. And he dropped dead. Why did he do that? When the woman come in, Did y'all sell it for this? Yeah. Why do you lie? Bam, she dropped dead too. He asked him, he said, when you had it, wasn't it yours? See, God didn't say they had to give it to him. You didn't have to do that. He said, when you had it, was it not yours? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Because they wanted to look good in front of everybody. They wanted to look like, well, I'm participating just like everyone else is, when you know you weren't. They kept back some money for themselves. It's like, God don't need your... Psalm 50. Let's go to Psalm 50. I'm finna end with this. I knew I was going to need this. I knew the Lord was going to bring me back to this. All right, let's go over here. Psalm 50. Y'all going to see what I'm saying. Psalm 50. All right, let's go. We're just going to read straight through it. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. Out of Zion, perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very temptuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, even your God. I will not reprove you for your sacrifices or your burnt offering to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of your house, nor your goats out of your field, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and all that stuff you don't even want to bring. I know all the fowls of the mountains are mine, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I was hungry or my church needed anything, would I tell you? For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto me what matters, thanksgiving. Pay your vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. Then I will deliver you and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked, God says, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes or that thou shouldest take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate my instruction and you cast my words behind you, when thou sawest a thief, when thou consentest with him and hast been partakers with adulterers, and thou givest your tongue to evil and your tongue frames deceit, you sit around and you speak evil against your brother, you slander your own mama's son. These things hast thou done and I kept silence because you thought I was altogether like you, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver you. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. You know, one time I was talking to my sister, and something came up in my mind about my brother, and I went to say something, and the Lord was like, huh? See, look, back up, put that scripture up there. Lord, I take the word of God serious, y'all. And we all need to. Because God is listening to every word come out your mouth. Look at what he says. You sit and you speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. God's talking to a person, to people. Now he says, this is how y'all are. Y'all think it's all right to sit around and talk about your own family. And then he goes on to say, because you think I'm like y'all. Y'all got me confused, God said. One, he said, look, I don't need nothing from y'all. If you think I need your tithes, your offerings, your any money, I don't need nothing from y'all. You should do what you do because you love me. But if you don't, I don't care because I'm going to get what I need, he said. I'm going to take care of mine because I own everything. You don't understand your breath that you're breathing out your body. I could kill you tonight or let the devil do it. You wake up in the morning, you can't even walk. You would have all kinds of issues and problems and things that you don't even know where they came from. Blessing could be happening for you this minute, and all of a sudden you're cursed, and you don't even know where it came from. Like a whirlwind out of nowhere. All of a sudden the sky is dark, and you don't even know how it happened. You can't even think yourself out of depression. How? Because God is the one that does these things. God's the one that allows Satan, because the power of God rests, you see. And when God watches, he says, see, people keep thinking, I'm like them. Look what he says. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. I ain't say nothing. Thou thoughtest that I altogether was like you. I'm not like y'all, God says. What y'all don't get about that? There are people who will say, well, I pray, you know, to the big man. Ain't no big man. Stop calling him that. Respect God. Well, God understands me. Yeah, he do. And he said, you better get it right before he tear you to pieces. You're like, well, I don't believe that. Okay, what part of the Bible you ain't see? Look at verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. See, God's like this. Jesus said, teach us how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He didn't say, oh, big man that art in heaven. Hey, dog. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. I know I got a lot of crazy, stupid stuff going on down here, the way I act and how I do things and all that, but you ain't like me. You're holy, and I come before you that way. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day, Father, my daily bread, and forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. And lead me not into temptation. See, God will let you go, and you end up somewhere you don't even know how you got there. Some people keep talking about, well, I would never do that. That's because you ain't been tempted right. You don't need but the right button pushed. Oh, not me. Don't say that. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the devil who's going around trying to get me. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So be it. And when you walk like that, folks, I'm telling you, the devil, you're not even his kingdom. You ain't even in his kingdom. If he get to put a finger on you, and I always use some of y'all as examples because I'm trying to get you to understand. Just think about it. It's like, I see Brother Robert over there. He has two kids. I see his wife. Let's say they get in the truck and somebody comes up to the truck. Depending on who you are, it ain't going to go well for you. Depending on what you try to do, it's not going to go well for you. Why? This is my wife. These are my kids. This is my family. That's how God, y'all got to see God like that. You got to say, okay, now if his son does something, I feel very comfortable. I can say to him, hey, don't do that. He's not going to say that because he knows I was right in reproving him. Cool. That's how God is. Now, I think God ain't going to kill your boss because your boss told you to come to work on time. You talking about he persecuting me because he know I'm a Christian. Yeah, ain't got nothing to do with a Christian. Boy, I told you be here at 8. You need to be here at 8. God just needs you to get to work on time. Even if you don't come early, just come to work on time. I'm getting persecuted. He see me read my Bible and stop it. He's right to reprove you, and God be right there with him going, you know, he right. But you come like everyone else, and you're early, and all of a sudden, you're getting picked on. God says, look, trust me, it would better he had a millstone hanged around his neck and get cast into the sea. Pray for him, because I will not allow my children to get abused by the devil. That's how you got to see it. You got to be saying, oh, Father, please, just forgive him. Don't kill him. Don't do nothing bad to him. That's how you should approach this, because you should know that God is like, look, I need you to pray for these people because you're my child, and I'm not going to let them keep doing this for long. Better he had a millstone cast around his neck. He get cast in the sea, then to offend you, pray for him. Okay, Father, and you praying for people that's doing you wrong, because you already know your daddy ain't going to tolerate this long now. That's supposed to be your attitude. Instead of being down there going, well, God, I know you letting the devil beat me. That's like, Brother Chapman, like I said, I walk up to the car, I snatch his kid out, and he just let me snatch him out, and I'm dragging him down the street, and he says, Rob, it's going to be okay. One day I'll see you again. And his sister's sitting there going, I need me a gun. Because daddy obviously ain't trying to protect me, so I need to make sure I can protect myself. The wife watching. And I'm sure she ain't going to be saying, well, you know, he needs to learn a lesson. Why do we think this is what God's doing? No. Any lesson that's coming, God bringing it. Yeah, because I can't stop him. If he start telling him, look, I'm about to chastise you, what am I going to say? Man, go easy on the boy. I expect him to go like this. Mind your own business. Yes, sir. And go on by my business. Why? That's his kid. We're God's children. God knows how to discipline us, how to take care of us, and God is going to keep us through every situation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father,